Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
We start off our run of 5 consecutive nights with playoff football, and we get a doozy. This one, good to the last drop.
One play away from Atlanta.
Rush 3, drop 8.
3 defenders back beyond midfield. Aller takes the snap. Final play of the game. Over the middle to Warren. Laterals it. Wallace is on the move. Now he's going to drop it back to Aller. He's in trouble. Throws it all the way across the field. It's out of bounds. The clock runs out. It's over.
Woo!
Notre Dame has won the Orange Bowl. And the Irish are going to play for a national championship. The dream season continues to Atlanta.
The call on the Notre Dame radio network with Tony Simone, and this one full of wild momentum swings. I love these kind of games because it really is a survival, if you will. It's about taking your opponent's best punch, taking their best shot, and figuring out a way to adjust and rally and grab the momentum back yourself. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. Happy almost Friday. Ooh, this first full week in January, trying to get back into the routine after, say, 2 weeks of holidays, 2 weeks of preparation before that. I know it's hit me hard, speaking of taking best shots. And so I'm really excited that we're heading into a full 4 days now, but we've got 5 days and nights in a row of postseason football, and also the fact that sweatpants are in my future and I can watch a lot of this football wearing the sweatpants. No, I'm not wearing them right now. I don't wear sweatpants to work or yoga pants or shorts or anything like that. So we're going to talk about the one half of the college football national championship that we know. Will get you ready for the second half of the national semifinals, that game coming up on Friday night and taking place in Dallas, icy Dallas, which is different, but also they're going to be okay. They've got contingencies. And so you've got the second half with Ohio State and Texas on Friday evening. That's followed by wild card weekend, Saturday, Sunday, supersized on Monday. If you haven't heard the latest from the NFL, the league did already move that game between the Vikings and the Rams to Glendale and Arizona, the home of the Cardinals, for a lot of reasons. I would say primarily because with so much of LA suffering, so much of the Los Angeles metro dealing with still smoldering wildfires, evacuation orders, power outages, and people having lost their homes and their businesses and being displaced, the idea of holding a football game before the fires are even out, or before people have had a chance to assess the damage or figure out what they're going to do, doesn't seem like a great combination. I'm not a huge fan of optics necessarily, because it's not so much about how it looks, but it feels insensitive and feels like the wrong thing to do. But then the reports on Thursday afternoon that the smoke, the air quality, and maybe even the fires themselves, the front lines were advancing. So they were relatively close to where the Chargers and the I think it was the Chargers. Actually, it was SoFi Stadium. So the Chargers were practicing elsewhere. You know, they'd been talked about the air quality at their place, and we'll hear from Jim Harbaugh a little bit later on. But getting close enough to SoFi that it was a few miles away, and they were feeling like this was the wrong thing to do without having any closure or full containment. I agree with this move. About an hour before the NFL made this announcement, I was watching the coverage on the news because it was before the college game kicked off, and I'm needing to see what's happening. I'm a bit of a news junkie anyway, but this is the type of natural disaster and the type of situation that affects so many millions of people that I want to be informed. And so I was watching the news and I was thinking about this NFL game, and there's just no way that the league can hold this game and continue to make preparations for this game on Monday. And about a half hour after I said that on social, the NFL moved the game. And in no way am I thinking that it's because of what I tweeted. So that's not my implication. But the idea would be, not only is it a little bit insensitive and maybe tone deaf to not be thinking about the greater LA area, but also how about the number of people that are required for security at these games? And it's a lot of at times, it's a lot of people who would be off duty law enforcement or have some other capacity to, you know, in which they are first responders and they're part of being there with the NFL contingent. And so I understand why the league would not want to take away anyone who can be better using his or her time on the front lines, trying to keep these fires at bay or trying to help people as they evacuate, making sure that order is kept as much as possible. As you can imagine, there's been looting, which is just on top of everything else, is unbelievable. And so this was the right move by the NFL, and I'm pleased that they made it before we ever got to the weekend. So there's a lot on our plates, football fans, and we're excited to move forward. But happy Almost Friday to you. You can find me online at A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Excited to have a conversation with Stacey Dales of NFL Network. She is immersed in the NFC North because she lives in Chicago, but she's covering Packers and Eagles in Philadelphia this weekend. And crazy story about Stacey. I covered her at the end of her All-American basketball career at the University of Oklahoma when she and the Sooners played in a Final Four, a national championship game. That was back, I mean, Sherry Cole was an institution at OU, but when Sherry was relatively early in her Oklahoma career, and Stacey, one of her best players, went on to the WNBA and has formed, a two-decade broadcasting career. And as I was communicating with Stacey before, as we were trying to talk about setting up an interview, she called me a legend. I was thinking, all right, that just means I'm old. A legend. No. But Stacey Dales has a lot to offer in terms of the NFL. She's been with the NFL Network for years now, so we're excited to have her to talk about part of the NFC playoffs. Ryan is with us tonight. So, Ryan, have we put up our polls yet? Are you working on those?
Not yet. I was going to put up during the first break.
All right. So we're going to do two polls on this edition of the show, because we can't possibly put all six wildcard games into one poll. Twix does not allow it. But also, I can't imagine taking any of these games out. So we're going to have to do an AFC and an NFC poll, which is fine with me. I think there's plenty of interest and intrigue of all of these games as we head into Saturday afternoon. And we'll talk about each of those games coming up Saturday and Sunday. But yes, AFC game of the week, NFC wildcard game of the week, plus college football's national championship matchup. Can they pack more into a 5-day span? Believe you me, the college commissioners and the college football playoff committee, they were extremely careful not to go up against the NFL and their wild card game. So that's why we have football on Thursday, Friday, and then the NFL taking place after that. So you can talk about any of these football games if you like with me, 855-212-4227, and we'll get those polls up momentarily. Looking at the Orange Bowl with Notre Dame and Penn State, and it was a slow starter when it came to offense. A lot of the talk around the Fighting Irish is that if they fell behind, they may not have the explosiveness with their passing attack. And Riley Leonard, as much as people love his spirit and his energy and his leadership, they don't ask him to do a whole lot when it comes to passing the football. They rely on that ground game for good reason. So could Riley Leonard lead the Irish back if it turned out that they fell behind in this game? Could they come up with the explosive plays if they fell behind? Now, the idea would be don't fall behind, except that's not what happened. Before long, Notre Dame was in a hole.
Allen to the right of Aller. Motion away from us, Singleton. On the sweep, he got it off the block from Allen. Singleton to the end zone. He's right there. Touchdown, Penn State.
On the Penn State Radio Network, you've got the first of the touchdowns for Nick Singleton. And early on, it's a 10-0 lead for the Nittany Lions, James Franklin's team. They were able to take advantage of an early interception by Riley Leonard for a field goal. And then after forcing another quick punt by the Irish, a 15-play, 90-yard march. 15 plays, 90 yards, consuming more than 7 minutes. Talk about ball control. The end result, that touchdown that you hear that put Penn State up 10-0 just before halftime. Now, the Irish had a couple of minutes left. They were able to get a field goal on the board before they hit the locker room. And I said to my husband as we're watching the end of this first half, they've got to get some points here. I thought a touchdown was necessary. Instead, Mitch Jeter nails a 41-yard field goal as time expires in that first half, and that was huge. Maybe the turning point. Because then the Irish come out of the locker room, and they've got the ball to start the third quarter, and they make sure they take advantage of this opportunity.
Shotgun for Leonard between the hashes. Fakes to Love. Puts his head down for the end zone. He's in. Touchdown, Notre Dame. And they're within an extra point of tying the score. What an opening second half drive from Riley Leonard.
Impressive there from Leonard, and the way that he saw the opening, was able to get into the end zone. I like the athleticism from him. Now remember, he actually took a hard hit late in the first half and left the game. So the big question at halftime is whether or not we would see Riley Leonard. They had to check him out for concussion to be sure that he was cleared to go back in the game. And he was asked post-game how he felt in that moment.
I was very aware of, you know, how I felt. I just had to prove that through our brain cognition tests. But yeah, I knew, like, I got up, got a little wobbly there for a second, but I knew whenever I was in the tent, like, I was all good. So there wasn't a worry at all. No.
I was a little wobbly there for a second. That's Notre Dame quarterback Riley Leonard. As if you were listening to either one of the radio broadcasts or watching TV, as they're coming out of the halftime locker room, all the reporters were able to get the information. Yes, Riley Leonard was going to play in the second half. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So after they're able to score on that opening drive of the third quarter, it's a few punts in a row. And then Notre Dame, trying to keep that momentum, is looking for its first lead of the game. Now, this is early fourth quarter. Honestly, one of the coolest scores that you'll see in college football.
Love to the right of Leonard on first and goal. Leonard takes the snap, gives it to Love, running left, tripped up, stays on his feet, through one tackle, muscling and strong.
Oh, he's scored!
He's in!
Oh my gosh!
Touchdown, Notre Dame! Jeremiah Love would not be denied!
That is so true. Again, the call with Tony Simone and the Notre Dame Radio Network. I'm still marveling over the Jeremiah Love TD. And if you want, Ryan, you can retweet it from our show account at Amy After Hours. I can watch this over and over. I've tried to count the number of Penn State defenders that Love took with him. It seemed like the entire PSU defense was on top of Love or dragging at Love or trying to pull him down. He takes on almost the entire Nittany Lions D and still manages somehow not to get a body part on the ground, one of the ones that would rule him down, and he stretches over the goal line. It was a very impressive touchdown for the Irish. So from down 10 points, they go up 7 points. So you've got the first 10 points for Penn State and then 17 in a row for Notre Dame. But Riley Leonard throws his second interception in that second half, and it leads to opportunities, another opportunity for the Lions.
Both in there together. Too far side. Wing left, it's Dickens. It's going to be Singleton. Singleton to the five, to the goal line. Touchdown! Penn State, the Nittany Lions take the lead with 7:55 to go. The third touchdown of the night for Nicholas Singleton.
It was a hat trick for Singleton because he had a pair of scores within 2.5 minutes of each other around that second Riley Leonard touchdown. Singleton finishes with 84 yards and 3 touchdowns. And once again, we get a lead change late in this one. But unlike the first half, where points were a little harder to come by and the explosive plays were harder to come by, Notre Dame did have the passing attack in gear.
Second and 8 for Leonard. Takes the shotgun snap, looking right, going to throw wide open. He's got Greathouse. Catches to the 30. Oh. Cuts back in the 20. Jaden Greathouse is going to walk in to tie the game. What a throwing catch. 54 yards. Leonard to Greathouse. And Notre Dame strikes back with 4:38 to go in the Orange Bowl.
Is there a better name right now among receivers in college football than Jaden Greathouse? I need that name. Greathouse.
That is a good one.
It is. I love it. So Jaden goes over 100 yards with that score off the hands of Riley Leonard, and he finishes with, 7 catches, 105, and the score. That comes inside of the final 5 minutes. And so now you're talking about some real crunch time, a pressure cooker for both the Irish and the Lions, and they've got inside of the final minute. Well, and little background first, if you didn't see the game, maybe you don't know that a pair of Notre Dame interceptions off Drew Aller were wiped out by penalties. There was one in the first quarter, and there was another one in, I think it was the third or fourth quarter. So you had one in each half, interceptions by that Notre Dame defense that get wiped out because of flags. So here we are in the final minute, and it's still tied between the Irish and the Lions.
Ball's at their own 28. Quick snap for Aller, looking left. Can't get it out. Now pressure coming. Aller throws. Loose ball. Yes! Intercepted. Christian Gray picks it off at the 42-yard line. Notre Dame will get the ball back with 33 seconds left in the game. What a big-time pick from Christian Gray. Mitch Jeter lines it up. He's ready. The Orange Bowl is on Mitch Jeter's leg. Good snap, good hold, kick on its way, and the kick is good!
Yes!
Mitch Jeter, with 7 seconds left, gives the Irish a lead, 27-24. Notre Dame is on the precipice.
And you heard the final call to start the show. Again, Tony Simone on the Notre Dame Radio Network. Final minute drama as a great way to cap off this college football semifinal. So forget what you've seen to this point. There have been some blowouts. There have been some lopsided affairs in the first year with a dozen teams in the college football playoff. But we end up with at least one delicious semi in the Orange Bowl at Hard Rock Stadium in Miami. So awesome. We'll hear from both the Penn State and Notre Dame coaches and quarterbacks and players. Drew Aller, sick over that interception. Wait until you hear what he was trying to do with the football when he was picked off by Christian Gray, and also the idea that Notre Dame or and Penn State's eliminated now, but Notre Dame and either Ohio State or Texas, these coaches, one of them is going to end up winning his first ever national championship. It's pretty sweet. Notre Dame hasn't won a national title since 1988 and hasn't been in a title game in over a decade. So this is a big thing for the Irish. And I love the fact that you're going to have a first timer, maybe even Marcus Freeman, who's in his 30s in his third full season with the Irish. So there's a lot of great storylines coming out of this college football playoff. Even if you don't love the format or you don't think it was fair or blah, 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 the games weren't all that good, forget all of that because it was great tonight. At A-Law Radio is where you can find me. If you go to our show Twix at Amy After Hours, we've got two polls up regarding the wild card weekend. What's your AFC and what's your NFC game of the week's? And so there's only three options, obviously, for each one. So you need to vote in each one at Amy After Hours. I'll get those up on Facebook as soon as I can. But more reaction to the Orange Bowl is straight ahead. 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
One play away from Atlanta.
Rush three, drop eight.
Three defenders back beyond midfield. Aller takes the snap. Final play of the game. Over the middle of Warren. Laterals it. Wallace is on the move. Now he's going to drop it back to Aller. He's in trouble. Throws it all the way across the field. It's out of bounds. The clock runs out. It's over. Woo! Notre Dame has won the Orange Bowl. And the Irish are going to play for a national championship. The dream season continues to Atlanta.
It takes 120 guys saying, you know what, who cares how many plays I get? Who cares what type of individual praise I get? It's all for Notre Dame and to make sure we achieve team glory. And we have a locker room of guys made up of that. And that, to me, is a reflection of what you saw today. The guys that did whatever it took to find a way to make sure we achieve the outcome we want.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of Marcus Freeman, head coach of the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, headed back to the national championship game for the first time in over a decade. Now, obviously, different system. Last time Notre Dame was part of it, how many iterations have we seen? A smaller college football playoff, the BCS. Before that, they used to vote. But Notre Dame hasn't been a champion in any system since 1988. They've had a couple of opportunities, but this is their first chance in over a decade. I think it's 12 years. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So you may remember how the Irish started the season. They beat Texas A&M, and the reason it stands out to me is because one of my brothers-in-law and one of my husband's sons, they are A&M grads. So the majority of the family, they're about Texas and the Longhorns. And of course, it'll be nerve-wracking and exciting both on Friday when the Longhorns get on the field against the Ohio State Buckeyes. But there are a few Aggies. And so there was much trash talking in the family when Notre Dame beat A&M to open up the season. And if I remember correctly, it was a rally, too. A&M was up and then ended up losing the game. But the Irish promptly followed that up by an embarrassing week two loss to Northern Illinois. So you beat A&M and then you fall to Northern Illinois. And Marcus Freeman looked back on that moment and the way he challenged his team.
I often tell them in your lowest moment, you find out the most about yourself. And we've had low moments, but we had a really low moment. We know week two, and these guys battle. We got great leaders. We got great players that chose to put this university and this football program in front of themselves. And that, to me, is probably the single most the single thing that I'm probably most proud of is how we have a group of individuals that truly put Notre Dame football in front of themselves.
I heard another interview with Marcus Freeman on the field in which he was asked about his kicker, Mitch Jeter, and the fact that he had no doubts. He called him clutch and said, I was sure he was going to make that kick.
Coach Freeman talks a lot about delayed gratification. He's been talking like that all the way back to week two when the NIU game happened. So it's kind of been my mindset, you know, going through an injury, have a delayed, you know, gratification now to be able to come out and give our team a chance to go win a national championship.
A little bit muted audio because he's standing in front of his locker, but he said delayed gratification. Really cool to be able to come out in those late stages and give our team a chance at a national championship. What about Riley Leonard? I heard, again, an interview with him on the field and other players like Jeremiah Love talking about Riley Leonard. And the fact that in the moment when they needed him to spark the offense, it was actually Riley through the air who was able to connect with a few of his receivers like Jaden Greathouse, like Aeneas Williams. That was actually the one that sparked them offensively. It was early in the third quarter. Remember, they're trailing by seven at the time because they had the late field goal to end the first half. But they're trying to find some type of an explosive play. They're trying to go vertical as opposed to dinking and dunking or running for a couple of yards. You could see Penn State at times was crowding the box, believing that that's the best option Notre Dame had was to run the football. And then he goes over the top to Aeneas Williams for a 36-yard strike, and it opened up that Notre Dame passing attack. So neat for Riley Leonard and neat for the offense to go more two-dimensional in this particular game.
Throughout this whole offseason, everybody would ask me like, why I came to Notre Dame. And I'll give a lot of different answers, but the truth is I came here to win a national championship and, you know, to go to the best team that would give me the best odds to do that. And, obviously this is the right place and I made the right decision. So, I mean, that's why I came here at the end of the day.
And he still had to lead the team even after the Christian Gray interception. They had to get in position for a final Mitch Jeter kick. And yeah, for Marcus Freeman, it all came together in that moment, that final minute of this game.
They executed it flawlessly. Nobody panicked. It was great communication. Riley kept everybody under control, and we knew we were in range where Mitch could make that field goal. And he is a confident guy, man. There is no moment too big for Mitch Jeter. And I had a lot of confidence in him in that moment. He was going to do exactly what he did, and he did a great job at doing it.
We'll hear from Penn State and James Franklin and Drew Aller, the quarterback who threw that late pick. He was in tears, as you could imagine, feeling like this was his fault. Reality is, it was a great back and forth. This is what you expect at the college football national semifinal. A spot, you know, you're down to the top four, and it's supposed to be hard. It's supposed to be a tough game. I thought that the Notre Dame defense limited his options, too, and really made it difficult for him to work downfield, too. It just was a lot of fun to watch this give and take. So you can't ever put the loss on one play, one athlete, one moment. It's just not that simple, but it's hard when it's in the final minute and you feel like you have an opportunity to win and the ball is in your hands and there's a mistake or a miscue like that one. But wait till you hear what he had to say about what he was trying to do with the football. 855-212-4227. Bob is listening in Calgary. Bob, welcome to After Hours.
Thank you, Amy. This is the second time I've called. I called in September 2023 when Notre Dame gave up the touchdown to Ohio State in the last play of the game. And Shep wanted to fire Marcus Freeman on the spot. And I said, let's wait for some more games. And a lot of people wanted to fire Marcus after Northern Illinois. But, you know, if you look at the statistics for defense, Northern Illinois is like number five. Notre Dame's like number four. Penn State was number three, and Ohio State was number one. So there actually was Notre Dame was playing early in the season before Riley Leonard really knew what the offense was like. And, boy, Notre Dame sure played. The other thing I want to point out is two things. One is Notre Dame had two less days to prepare over a week because of the delay, and also theirs was the second day anyway on January 1st rather than December 31. And they had three All-Americans that didn't play most of the season. Morrison was out. Jordan Battelle, the linebacker, was out, and Riley Mills, they lost two or three games ago. So that's how good that defense is, and you got to give a lot of credit to Al Golden, who actually graduated from Red Bank Catholic High School, as I did, in terms of what they were able to do against a really tough Penn State team. Mm. It's quite the whole thing is kind of a miracle, but they got one more game to play. So that's all I have to say. I'd be happy to hear your take on this.
All right. I appreciate it, Bob. Thank you so much for calling, and congratulations. I'm sure this is really exciting as a Notre Dame alum.
I also graduated from Ohio State, too.
Oh, wow. You've got it all covered. So would you prefer to see the Irish and would you prefer to see the Irish and the Buckeyes then?
Yes.
I feel like I'd be torn if that was the case.
No, I feel good whoever won. It's amazing that the teams can get this far because the teams are so close and the plays are so close and the players are trying so hard. And one of the things I said to Shep, these players are 18, 19, 20, 21 years old. And you're getting on them because somebody forgot to go on the field and that wasn't the coach. I mean, it's really quite remarkable how focused they can be for the players, particularly at a time when it really counts and everyone's watching them. It's really quite remarkable.
Mm. Well, that does sound a bit like hot take radio. Let's fire everyone when there's one misstep. I myself think that's kind of ridiculous. What happens with college football, the way that the committee weighs in, and they don't do the rankings until much later in the season, of course, but it behooves you to lose early because then you drop, but you also have plenty of time to work your way back up. It's a little bit like a game, right? If you're going to have a tough stretch, well, probably better to have it in the first quarter or the first half or to throw that interception when you still have time to make up for it. So I think that in the case of Notre Dame, college football is so competitive at the top. There was going to be plenty of opportunity after that loss to Northern Illinois to be able to make up for it. And, yeah, I love what Marcus Freeman has talked about, which is that you are faced with this adversity. You're able to use it to get better. And that failure, whether you stub your toe, you fall flat on your face, you get kicked in the pants, whatever it is, you can use that to get better. And it's a great learning tool. And clearly his locker room responded. And that shows maybe not the heart of a champion. We can't quite crown them champions. But it certainly shows great leadership, and it shows character, right? Sometimes adversity breeds character, and it brings a locker room together if you've got the right people and the right leaders. And I do love how all of the guys have talked about Riley Leonard, regardless of what happened earlier in the season or how little, quote unquote, he may have been asked to do in some games. Fact is that Well, I've heard him called a dog multiple times. They know that he can get the job done when he's called on. And, yeah, he had to make some big plays in this one to open up the offense in the second half. At A-Law Radio, at Amy After Hours, we've got the two polls up. AFC Game of the Week, NFC Game of the Week. We will talk about what's to come this wild card weekend. But straight ahead, James Franklin and Penn State see their road come to an end in the Orange Bowl. We'll hear from them, especially quarterback Drew Aller, who feels like he let his team down in a big way. Here's our latest sports update.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Second and eight for Leonard. Takes the shotgun snap. Looking right. Going to throw wide open. He's got Greathouse. Catches to the 30. Oh. Cuts back in the 20. Jaden Greathouse is going to walk in to tie the game. What a throwing catch. 54 yards. Leonard to Greathouse. And Notre Dame strikes back with 4:38 to go in the Orange Bowl.
I saw it well and, you know, obviously didn't, you know, performing on a couple plays, but, you know, I can live with that. If I didn't throw that ball to J2, which I overthrew for an interception, I would have regretted it. So, you know, I'm confident in, you know, my progression. That was the right throw. Just got to execute, but I can live with that. You know, if I were to not throw it and hesitate, that's one thing. But I let it fly, and then, you know, it got picked, but that's all right.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The Orange Bowl champions, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, and will now await the champion of the Cotton Bowl Classic, either Ohio State or Texas, which comes up on Friday night. I know maybe a little bit odd, not that we don't generally have at least one college football game during the season on Friday nights, but it's not usually this high profile. Trust me when I say the college commissioners are trying to avoid any conflict with the NFL because they know who drives the bus as well. We're going to talk about the NFL matchups as we head forward through this edition of the show. Happy Almost Friday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Already see a ton of your votes coming in on Twix at Amy After Hours. I haven't had the chance yet to put them up on Facebook. I will. I have not forgotten you. Or maybe I'll get Ryan to do it because he has nothing else going on. What is your AFC playoff game of the week? What is your NFC playoff game of the week? So we've given you each of the three wild card options. Of course, the Lions and the Chiefs, they are not playing this weekend. They get to take the week off and let's hope not get fat and happy over the course of enjoying those top seeds and the buys and the home field advantage. But we will talk some NFL, including Jim Harbaugh from Los Angeles, as well as others in the sports world. I'm sure you've heard some of the headlines or seen some of the headlines. J.J. Reddick's family did, in fact, lose their home. He's not the only one from the sports world that's dealing with these fires on a very personal level. Still thinking about the hundreds of thousands of people who are impacted by these fires that are still raging in the L.A. area. Now, my college friend is back home, and so the fires have somehow run into, well, the winds have shifted, but they've run into a geographical block almost in terms of some mountains and have seemingly stopped their advancing toward her neighborhood. So she's been able to get back home. But so many other people are either displaced or and maybe have no idea what's happened to their homes or already know that their homes have been destroyed. I saw this story. Mel Gibson was in Austin, Texas to record an edition of the Joe Rogan podcast, and he finds out while he's in Austin that his home is gone and that his neighborhood is gone. I guess he lives right next door to actor Ed Harris, and both of their homes completely destroyed. But there are many working class families and businesses that have been lost as well. Just really sad, devastating to see as you watch the news. So we'll hear from some of the members of the sports world after the top of the hour, and also next hour, Stacey Dales. She is based in Chicago. She covers the NFC North for NFL Network, is a senior national reporter. She'll be on the hand for Packers and Eagles on Sunday. As for the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, yes, Riley Leonard able to open things up in the passing game in the second half, including a bunch of connections to Jaden Greathouse, though he did have a pair of interceptions, but they ultimately didn't, they didn't cost as much as the one interception from Drew Aller in those final 40 seconds because there was really no time for Penn State to be able to make up for that turnover. And as you can imagine, he was almost disconsolate once he was talking about this game after the fact and that interception and what he was really trying to do with the football.
I was going through my progression, got to the backside, and honestly, I was just trying to dirt it at his feet, but I mean, it just, I should have just thrown it away when I felt the first two progressions not open just because of the situation we were in. But I was just trying to dirt it at Amari's feet. So, but I just didn't execute what I was trying to do.
How about that? He was trying to throw the ball away. He was under pressure. There was a defender who was about to hit him. And as that happens, as he launches the ball, incredible anticipation and movement there by Christian Gray to get in the middle of it. Of course, the ball nearly hit the ground. They had to look at it to make sure that it was a pick. So yeah, for Drew, this was a tough one. He had the interception. It goes 12 of 23 for 135 yards. There were no completions, to a Penn State wide receiver, if you can believe it.
We didn't win the game, so it wasn't good enough. I mean, I think it's plain and simple. So I'll learn from it. Just do everything in my power to get better from it and just grow from it.
Christian Gray on the other side of that, and to be able to limit the Nittany Lions in the receiving game the way that they did, really impressive.
Coach Meek has always told us, you know, challenge, challenge, challenge every time, and we just did our job, you know, and we just kept them to zero catches.
Isn't that amazing? in a national semifinal, one that goes down to the wire. The secondary did such an incredible job. Now, there were a couple of flags in there. Remember, well, in the defense, too. Remember, there were a couple of turnovers that were wiped out by penalties. And so Notre Dame's aggressiveness, and that was one of the words that Marcus Freeman used before the game, aggressive, attacking. They wanted to come out and attack right away. For that reason, you're going to sometimes pay the price when it comes to flags. But still, the way that they bounced back and the adjustments in the second half were so, so stark from having almost no offensive momentum and no offensive production in that first half and really unable to open it up, to the way that they were able to use different receivers and find not just the angles with the routes in the middle of the field. Secondary for the Penn State Nittany Lions caught them out of position a couple of times. So yeah, this was an impressive adjustment from first half to second half. And for James Franklin, you can imagine to be so close is heartbreaking.
We played our tails off tonight and really played our tails off all season. Obviously, we need to give Notre Dame and Marcus a ton of credit. They did a great job. We knew it was going to be a fourth quarter game and come down to a possession. And that's exactly what happened. We weren't effective enough on third down. And then the middle eight, that field goal right before the half was big. We almost had a chance to have a fumble recovery right there off a strip sack. And then to open the second half with them going down and scoring a touchdown and us going three and out. You know, those things, that was significant in the game.
3 of 11 on third down. Again, you might not have known it or been focused on that because the two teams went back and forth multiple times with lead changes in the second half. And they've got the first 10 points. The Irish have the next 17 points. They get a hat trick from Nick Singleton. Two touchdowns within 2.5 minutes in the second half because they're able to pick off Riley Leonard. So a lot of good things for Penn State. But such a tight game, when you make a mistake like that or make an error like that, you can expect that your opponent will capitalize on it. And I mean, that's football, right? The thrill of victory, the agony of defeat when you get into these playoff games. Already, speaking of playoffs, already brisk voting in our AFC and NFC polls at Amy After Hours. Right now in the NFC, and this is early returns, a dead heat between two of the wild card games, and the third is not far behind, so very competitive. And then also extremely close among the two, at least initially, the two top choices in the AFC, which I'm not going to tell you. You have to go look yourself. We're going to hear from some of the Rams and the Chargers coaches, Sean McVay and Jim Harbaugh, as they're preparing for playoff games. We now know that the NFL has moved Monday's game, so the Rams will be hosting in Glendale at the home of the Arizona Cardinals when they play the Vikings. But that was the right move by the league, without a doubt. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.